If you seek to live a life of meaning and purpose, then welcome to Old South Church, for that is our pole star, though it is far from us and we have not arrived. If you seek healing or repair for any part of your life, then welcome to Old South Church, for we have access to the very balm of Gilead. If you like stories with good endings, then welcome to Old South Church, for we are privy to the greatest story ever told with an ending that'll blow your mind. If you ever failed or fallen short, if you sometimes disappoint yourself or others, then welcome to Old South Church, for we are a people of the second chance, and we know a God who will not let you go. If you love babies and baptisms, then welcome to Old South Church, for we have both today. If you like the sound of any of these things and do us the favor of signing the friendship pad, you'll have to cut and paste the tiny URL in the chat feature. Tell us what brought you here. If you provide enough information, we'll write you back and invite you into the life and ministry of Old South Church in Boston. There are many ways to get involved, even remotely, to put shoulder to the plow, to make a difference, to do some good. Small groups, outreach, all kinds of things. Be in touch, and we'll be in touch with you. After all, Christianity is no spectator sport. It's about jumping in, as Jesus dared do, into the human maelstrom. God is good all the time. Let us serenade our all the time good God with song and praise.
Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise.
Let us join our voices and our hearts in the prayer of invocation, a prayer by Maya Angelou. Let us pray. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we are able to celebrate you and our families and our friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to all the world that which we need most. Peace. Amen.
Hi everyone! Today our scripture story is one I believe you are familiar with, the parable of the sower. Parables are valuable presents given to you before you were born. They are old and sometimes seem close to us, but when we keep coming back to them, one day they suddenly open up. And so in today's parable, a sower went to sow seeds and they ended up falling on very different kinds of ground. Some seeds were sown along the path, some were on rocky ground and thorns, and some fell on good soil. There are many ways to look at a parable, but I think we can all agree that we want the seeds to grow. We want them to survive and to thrive, to become what they were created to be, whether that's a carrot or a marigold. So today, I thought we might investigate these different types of locations. Maybe we will learn more about this parable if we can see where things are growing in the world. So now, I want you to come with me. Let's go to Plant Wonderland to investigate how these different seeds are growing in nature. Let's go. Welcome to Plant Wonderland. So, our first investigation is going to be of plants growing along the road. Wow, this path has so many plants growing on the road, along the road. Let's take a closer look. Oh, wow, look at this little plant. It's wedged between the concrete slabs, but has somehow found ground to root into and is trying its best to grow. These plants must get stepped on a lot. Maybe the seeds growing along the path have to face serious difficulties to growing and finding deep roots. In human life, this could look like a person who faces housing insecurity or violence. Living and thriving in this sort of environment is really, really difficult. Okay, now let's go investigate plants that grow on rocks. It might be a little bit trickier to find, but let's see. Maybe seeds that get sown in rocky soil have a hard time too. I think in human life, the rocky soil could be the times in our life when we're really dealing with hard times, like with sickness or with racism and inequality or with loss or grief. Living in these situations feels really hard. There's some good soil to get nutrients from, but so much space is taken up. Hard and bending limits. And sometimes it takes a while to realize that you are going with a confusing, rocky time. Woo! Wow! Finally, the final investigation. Now we're going to investigate plants that are growing in healthy soil. Let's go! Now this is the ideal soil where everything has enough of what it needs. Enough soil, enough water, enough sunlight, and all the nutrients we need. And our homes can sometimes feel like this. And our parents and our teachers do their best to make this kind of home environment. Thank you for joining me in my investigation today. It was so much fun having you come along with me, and I hope you had just as much fun as I did. And I hope that today's scripture lesson opened up for you just a little bit and helped you understand a little bit more how people and plants can grow and thrive best. And that sometimes we go through hard and harsh times, but there are ways that we can change and grow and become the people that God has called us to be. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you again for coming with me to Plant Wonderland. As a church, we try to create fertile soil for seeds to grow. And today we have new seedling here at our church. A baby named Hayden will be baptized. We are so excited. Will you pray with me? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all seeds and seedlings that can grow and thrive. Help us to grow healthy as well. Help us when we are tangled, confused, and sad. Help us to make soil less rocky for people who look different from us. Help us to sow good seeds. And we all say, Amen.
This morning, Amy Elizabeth Click and John Miguel McCauley present to the church their son, John Hayden McClick, for Christian baptism. With them in the same screen are Hayden's maternal grandparents, Rodney and Emily Click, also members of Old South Church. Emily, an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ, will perform the baptism. In another screen, Hayden's godfather, Samuel Ike. Sam, would you lift your hand up? There, Sam. Thank you. Also with us are Hayden's paternal grandparents, John McCauley and Nina Jones, and Hayden's aunt, Maria, and uncle, Miles. In a separate screen is Hayden's other uncle, John Click. Also with us representing the Board of Ministers and Deacons is Jonathan Alshire. Church, in the sacrament of baptism, we give God thanks for this new precious gift of life. And we welcome Hayden into the family of Jesus, marking him as a beloved child of God. Old South Church, please join with us in the litany of baptism. Your parts will appear on the screen. We are gathered to present John Hayden to the church and to dedicate him to God. What can we affirm about him?
He is a child of God, made in God's image.
As John Hayden grows and matures, how will he know he is a child of God? And how will he learn of the Christian story?
We will tell him about Abraham and Sarah, the parents of our faith. About Moses and Miriam, who led our ancestors out of bondage. About Mary and Joseph's openness to mystery. About the Savior, Jesus.
In turn, what will we expect of Hayden?
We look forward to sitting with him at the Lord's table,
sharing with him the costs and joys of discipleship, learning and growing with him in the Christian pilgrimage, and declaring with one voice our faith in God and God's Son, Jesus.
Do you, Amy and Mickey, parents, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with Hayden in the Christian faith, helping him to become a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering him the nurture and support of the Christian Church? And do you, Sam, Godfather, agree to guide Hayden into becoming an engaged and complete human being, teaching him about personal sacrifice for a greater good, about grace and reconciliation at times of human weakness, and the power of unconditional love for all people?
We fully and genuinely accept this serious duty.
Old South Church, do you pledge to maintain a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for Hayden?
We do,
for he belongs to us as well.
Then may God be with us.
God help us.
Amen.
Church, please now raise your hands in the ancient posture of Christian blessing, that we might bless this water. Let us pray. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in the baptized today, that he may rise in Christ. And now, John Hayden, I baptize you in the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Hayden, child of God, disciple of Jesus, member of the church, and I pray God's blessings upon your life.
Church, let us join our hearts and our voices in the congregational welcome as printed on your screen. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ Church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Amy, can you bring Hayden a little closer to the camera so the church can see their new brother in the faith? There he is.
He's waving too.
Hello, Hayden. God bless you.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, the person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Sovereign, shepherd, teacher, healer. There are so many job descriptions that we assign to Jesus, but farmer or sower of seeds is rarely at the top of the list. And yet, as Jesus tells this story, the parable of the sower, he is planting seeds, seeds of inspiration for creation-centered revolution, seeds of hope for a future abundant harvest, seeds of transformation to bring about God's kingdom on earth. This parable seems simple at first. It's a lesson that begs the question, what kind of soil are you? How can you go about becoming a more well-weeded, well-fertilized, well-tilled field for the sowing of God's love? But, in truth, this parable contains multitudes. It is a parable about parables. It is a lesson about learning. It is a seed planted by the sower of the gospel. And if we prepare ourselves for it, if we cultivate it, if we can have ears to hear and hearts to understand, the lessons of this seed, of this sower, will yield an outlandish harvest of grace, hope, and transformation. Now let's be clear. The crowd who first heard this parable probably thought Jesus was joking. Jesus suggested to this peasant crowd something that would be absolutely ludicrous. I mean, he proposed to them, these impoverished rural farmers and fishers and craftspeople, that they squander seed, to take preciously gleaned, cleaned, stored seed and sow it so recklessly that it falls on the path, amidst the thorns, in the rocky wastes. It's prodigal at best and very foolish farming strategy. It makes no economic sense. Who would sow seeds this way? Of course, Jesus isn't joking. In his Jesus way, he is simply turning the tables completely on agriculture as a transactional system. The crowds who were there with Jesus were experiencing the earliest days of big agribusiness. Cash crops were being consolidated into the hands of fewer, wealthier landowners. They likely heard Jesus' words with ears similar to our own and began asking themselves the questions that often come up for us in hearing this story. What kind of soil are you? Are you bringing in the harvest, the best harvest, of all that God has invested in you? It's the transactional model that we default to. God puts seeds in our bank, and we either invest them profitably or we don't. We're either fertile soil or we're not. We're either worth God's word or we aren't. Sound familiar? Well, sadly, it probably does, because this is the version of Christianity that many of us were taught. Are we good enough? Have we earned it? rather than telling the story of a God who loves beyond belief, who scatters the word gracefully and wastefully, we've been taught a story about a God who, in a tight school marmish manner, tests our ability to learn, our ability to listen, our ability to change. But God is a prodigal sower. And that's really the message, isn't it? There is plenty of grace for you. Take that in, my friends. Please take it in. There is plenty of grace for you. God sows the seeds wantonly without judgment and waits to see whether they will sprout. And by sowing with such joyful abandon, they make sure that growth will occur, even among those of us who are hard of hearing. Now, the gift of a parable is, once you think you've got the message, you can flip it over, turn it around, and find something entirely new planted in the text. We too are sowers. Sowers of the word of God's kingdom of justice and peace, of hope and love. As we seek to live out our faith, we plant seeds along the way. When we care for our loved ones and support our friends, we plant seeds of kindness. When we raise and teach and bless our children, we plant seeds of possibility. When we stand up, stand with, and advocate for what is right, we plant seeds of transformation. But at times, we may look at the seeds we've sown and wonder, will these ever grow? Are the conditions just too tough to overcome? Should I even waste my time? It's clear that we are in the throes of multiple converging global crises. Health crisis, climate crisis, hate crisis, migration crisis, criminal justice crisis. Daunting. Daunting to even get up in the morning, let alone hope to make some change in addressing these crises. But a prodigal sower goes out to sow and sows generously in hope. As we strive, as individuals and together as a church, to address the global climate crisis, we are planting seeds. Whenever we make choices as individuals or collectively to be better stewards of our resources, we are sowing seeds. We sow seeds through education and discussion, through statewide advocacy efforts and national Get Out the Vote campaigns. And we sow these seeds prodigally. We are looking to cover a lot of ground. And we know too that the seeds that fall on the hard path, they may not become wheat, maybe they'll become lunch for a mouse. And we know that the seeds that fall amidst the weeds of red tape and bureaucracy and environmental racism, those seeds may be incorporated into the soil and nurture a new harvest of abundance. We sow these seeds, even when we don't think our crop will be productive, because as Desmond Tutu put it so perfectly, God without you will not, as you without God cannot. Our hope is rooted in God's promise that just when the pattern of defeat seems confirmed, a harvest will burst forth in abundance. Our work to become more anti-racist as individuals and as a church follows a similar pattern. In every corner of our community, seeds are being planted, seeds for learning, seeds for reflection, seeds that inspire action, seeds that push shoots through cracks of centuries-old pavement of racism and colonialism and Christian exceptionalism. We are learning about the challenges of the hard soil, the scorching sun, the sharp thorns, but we are also learning more fully the good news of the extravagant sower. That when we sow seeds of God's kingdom in hope, a bountiful harvest will grow. I'll close with words from the poem, "This Is What We Are About," by Bishop Ken Buettner. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, yours is the power and yours is the might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for creating a world so filled with beauty and variety, and we thank you for revealing yourself in the blooming of flowers, and in the power of storms. We marvel at the beauty of your work in the world for keeping us connected, for keeping your church at worship, for creating us in your good image, and for our task as caretakers of this world and all it contains. Yet we come before you, acknowledging that we have failed in our task as stewards of this world. We have squandered the gifts of creation. We have denied your image in one another. We have remained silent and unmoved when injustice and destruction reign. Forgive us, change us, empower and sustain us in our call to do better, be better. We dwell this day in the awesome mystery of life with you. With one breath, we give thanks for John Hayden and for the soft, tender cry of birth,
And with that same breath, we give thanks for the life of Elaine and bid your Holy Spirit to gather and wrap in mercy Nancy and all who loved her. We give thanks, O God, for these waters of baptism, for in them we find belonging, welcome, and the gentle mingling of death and new life. By those same waters, quench the thirst of those in this world who reside now in dry and barren lands, for the sick and dying and those who tend to them, for the heartbroken and confused, the depressed and those who are lonely, for the imprisoned and the oppressed, for those fighting the ravages of virus, war, and inequity, for this and every nation and those who hold authority on our behalf, for parents, we ask for patience, for children, we ask for safety, for all of us, we ask for the assurance of your guiding hand and your love, which keeps us all. These prayers and those held in the secrecy of our own hearts, we lift to you in the words our Savior taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I have to tell you something. I miss singing. Now, don't get me wrong, I sing a lot. In the shower, in the car, walking down the street. And I sing on Sundays when tuning in to worship. But I have to say, it's just not the same. I miss singing with you. I miss that good feeling when the music swells, the hymnals crack, our lungs fill with air, and together we sing. I miss the sounds of harmony and unity, of belting and thumping. And I even miss when some of us are a little off key. But what I really miss is what we sing and how that sounds when we sing it together. For at Old South Church in Boston, we sing some pretty bold stuff. We sing about the God who comes not to judge, but to save. We sing about the wideness of God's mercy, the openness of God's table, the welcome of God's love. We sing about a God who loves all and forgets none, and the world that God beautifully and wonderfully made. And when we sing that bold and beautiful stuff together, the world that tells us otherwise, that tries to silence our song, can't. When we join our voices as one to proclaim in song, we drown out the naysayers and the status quo, the ways of exclusion and hatred, and together we sing a new creation into existence. When we give today, we join in that mighty chorus, singing the ways of justice and mercy into our world. And to put it plainly, it sounds better when we all join in. To give, you can hover your cursor over the screen and click the donate button, or you can select the link in the chat feature, or you can visit oldsouth.org/donate. Go ahead, sing out loud, join the mighty chorus, and flood the world with our song. It needs it. The offering will now be given and received.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that with our gift giving, we too take part in sowing seeds that craft your vision of love and justice in the world. May these gifts given here today be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, of community to all in need of your presence in their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Join us after this for our community hour offerings. Take a look in the comments and you'll see more information. And now let us go in hope and in peace, sowing the seeds of God's kingdom in joy wherever we go. Amen.